morning and welcome to What Should I Watch, episode 40. Big news this week. We've been nominated in the podcast awards.
Better than that, Steve. Better than nominated. And it's on the shortlist.
The shortlist, even, yeah. Mm. Jesus, yeah.
So of all the TV and movie podcasts in all the world, right? In all the multiverse, right? They whittled it down to just 10. Mm. And because our podcast starts with W, it looks like we were the 10th. But in reality, yep. I'd say we were right up at the top there. Right up at the top.
Oh, yeah. First name on the list for sure. Yeah.
Oh, no doubt about it.
People know quality when they see it, you know.
So yeah, they do.
It's the eternal professionalism, I think, that really separates us from the chaff, you know.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
You know, so, actors' names on the tip of our tongues every time, detailed background.
I feel like you're setting us up for a fall, Michael. So it's down to the public can't vote for this now. It's down to selected panel of voters.
Ah, brilliant. Well, what Mike just said, you see, that's what separates us, the wheat from the chaff, you know.
An ad hoc chat with your mates in a very professional and polished way.
I want to start with Where the Crawdads Sing.
Where the Crawdads Sing is a movie of the book by the same name.
Yes.
Starring your one from...
The Place, yeah.
Daisy, I can't think of her second name.
Daisy Duke.
Daisy Edgar Jones. Right. So Daisy Edgar Jones plays a young girl who is more or less left to her own devices in the swamp from a very young age. And it's the story of how she struggles to survive in that environment.
Is this a remake of Gator Bait?
No, thankfully. So she's called Marsh Girl by the townsfolk.
Uh-huh. Right. And Marsh Girl, okay, close enough. That's what they should call it.
Where the Crawdads Sing was a place she used to run to get away from her dad when he had a beer in him and he was angry.
Mm. What's a crawdad?
It's a kind of bird.
Okay.
But anyway, without going too deep into it, because I know I'm the only one that's seen this, I really enjoyed it.
It is
a tour de force of acting, right? And storytelling. So I don't really like Daisy Edgar Jones. Right. I'm not a huge fan of hers. In normal people, her character leaves an ice pop on the ground unattended. And it's one of the biggest unanswered questions of normal people is what happened to that. I think it was a fruit pasty ice lolly.
That's her
fault. She just put it on the ground. She put it on the ground and then they started having sex and it's never mentioned again. And I watched all the credits just in case there was an after credit scene or something. But there isn't.
It'll have its own spin-off, you know.
So anyway, so I don't like her for obvious reasons, right? But the thing about Where the Crawdads Sing is that there's a huge supporting cast, right? There's a black couple that run the local shop that kind of take pity on her. They're brilliant. She has kind of, there's two sort of love interests in it. And I was pretty amazed at how there's a bad guy in it, right? And the character establishment there was so good because he appeared on screen and he was nice and he said nice things, mm-hmm. but you knew there was something not right about him. Mm-hmm. And I thought that, like I said, this is amazing acting that they can communicate that. Mm-hmm. Let me quickly look up who he is.
Jason Statham, no?
No.
No, I see he's not. Yeah.
Was it Chase? Was he the good guy? Taylor John Smith. I think it was.
Taylor John Smith. Okay.
But both of them, Harris Dickinson played Chase Andrews. I need to look at bigger pictures so I know which is which. Okay. Taylor John Smith was quote unquote the good guy. Mm-hmm. Right. He also did a great job because you knew he was a good guy just from seeing him on screen. So don't get me wrong, even though I don't like Daisy, she did a great job and was excellent in this as well.
Yeah.
David Strathairn is in it. He plays kind of a lawyer. He winds up being her lawyer in the court case that's featured in the movie. He was very good as well. Like, it's just all of those people that were in the background made the setting so rich. It felt so real. It was really, really good for maintaining the immersion.
Good supporting cast, as they say. Yeah.
So good story, good acting and directing. So I think it was brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it.
Really enjoyed the show. Here's one that we both saw, Terminalist.
Oh, I watched it. I watched the end.
Got around to it. There's get this great talk about that show.
I watched it right
really?
To the end.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's an amazing show. I really liked the first episode, and I kept going back to it. And
really,
yeah. And it was one of the things while I was away on vacation. In my head, I was thinking, fair enough, it's terrible going home, but I will get to watch the last episode and a half of Terminalist. So it could be worse. So it's about Chris Pratt plays an ex, well, he's not ex, he plays a soldier who is suffering from really, really severe PTSD. His most recent mission that's featured in the first episode went very badly wrong. We reviewed this here, didn't we? Did we review this?
No, we didn't. were thinking about it, but we didn't get to it.
We didn't. Okay, well, I'll try and be brief, right? I'll let you guys talk about it then. So the mission goes wrong. He's PTSD. And then the line between what's happening and what he thinks is happening starts to blur.
Yeah. Right?
And that's kind of the story of the first three episodes. And then it really becomes a different kind of TV show. But I don't really want to say any more about that.
Okay.
Because that whole blurring was nearly the best part of it, because you were there looking, going, is this happening in real life or is it just in his fucking head?
And, yeah.
But that isn't what the whole series is about.
Right.
Okay. Well, you see, I kind of abandoned it after episode one because of exactly that. I thought, do I really want to watch 9, 10, 14 episodes, seasons? I don't know if this...
Fair enough.
You know, but you've seen it all and you think it's worth sticking with.
I think it's brilliant. Like, I think it's brilliant.
See, that's exactly why that's why I'm in this podcast. See, I just abandoned it. Now you've restored my faith in it. I'm going to have to go and... What should I watch, Mark, this week? Terminalist. Is that right?
I can remember finishing episode two, right, with my hand over my mouth going, what if what he thinks just happened isn't what happened? Right? Because he's like, there's this fight scene, right?
Yeah.
And in the back of my head, I'm going, he thinks he's after killing a whole load of hostile operators. I said, what if these are just people working in a shop? And it's really hard to know which it is.
Right. Okay.
And I was going, oh God, he could be like, and in his own head, everything's making perfect sense in his own head. He's on mission, you know? And I'm going, I don't know if the real world is like that.
It sounds an awful lot like A Beautiful Mind. Remember, that was a John Nash story?
After three episodes, it stops being about that, though.
To this day, I maintain that Nash was seeing real people.
one last thing about this is what we're going to cover about when we talk about Prey, our feature movie later. But one of the things that I liked about it is we've all seen, you know, is it Hunted, that TV show where people try and get away from
trains,
so we know how difficult it is to get away, and we've all seen high speed car chases, right, and how they never ever get away, right? So there's one in this. And in my head, I'm going, right, boys, you have work to do here to convince me that he's like, this is episode three or four now. And I said, you have work to do to tell me that this is believable at all. And they convince me that what he did is enough, right? Like, you know, he can't be caught, right? Well, I suppose you don't. But, and then there was another scene later on. It was one of these against the odds battles. And I'm going, come on now, immersion is starting to get a bit tender here. And they did another good job of saying that what happened was believable, you know? So I think they spent a lot of time kind of work out, right, look at boys, how can one fella wander around here by his lonesome do this, you know? Which I appreciate. And there's a really good finish to it. Really, really poignant, bittersweet finish to it.
Okay, cool. All right. I'm in.
Yeah.
I watched something, Mike, you'll absolutely want to avoid this. It's called, Persuasion. Mark, you'll love this.
Some kind of Bronte thing, or
it is, yeah. what's the name of one we're watching? Bridgerton. It's kind of like Bridgerton, but even more kind of just having the crack, you know. It's quite funny in places. Not as removed from reality, let's say, as Bridgerton is, of course. It's a fancy world, but. It's like there's main character is Anne Elliot in it, and what's IMDb say? Let me they do better synopsis than I do. 8 years after Anne Elliot was persuaded not to marry a dashing man of humble origins, they meet again. Well, she sees her second chance, true love. So it's that kind of thing. So they're saying, no, you can't marry him. Jeez, he's an old scrubber. And then he went off and made a ton of money. And, you know, he comes back a captain or an admiral or something. And they're all like, oh, your man's like, don't you see him? And then they have chance meetings and all that kind of, oh my God, I never stopped thinking about it, you know, that kind of thing. So they both have it, and then they can't admit it. And then one tries to make the other jealous, and then, you know, other stuff happens, you know, and it just goes on and like in that kind of vein. It's hilarious, you know. It's a real, you know, beach book kind of a thing, you know. So, yeah, Mark, I'd recommend it to you. No one else.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm the only person in the world that this is meant for.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was going to crack. It was only when I
probably stopped crying watching it.
Probably.
In fact, I feel myself welling up a little
should,
bit.
They should have been together. No, they should have just married and spent those 8 years in each other's arms.
I'd be interested to hear your opinion about it afterwards, actually. I think we might do a more full review on it then. But I'm just saying, I'm highlighting it. Might be one you might want to have a look at.
Noted, sir.
Yeah, duly noted. Okay, so that is that, and that was on, where did I watch it? Netflix. Are we all up to date with Blackbird?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Grant. Okay, we'll come back to it next week. I've five down. Homework, Mike. I don't think I'm up to it. Yeah, I think there's a six there at the moment. So, but yeah, I really got into it. I didn't expect that. What else?
I think you kind of did when we first started. I saw that.
Well, yeah, the first one was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah. So, The Gray Man.
Whose fault is this?
That was mine. Can I start by apologizing to both of you?
Go ahead. Yeah, once you finish apologizing, you can roll straight into what you thought about it.
I'm deeply sorry for putting this on the list. I had no idea. Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans, that's what I saw in the, you know, stars. And I just thought, okay, you know, this can't be too bad. But you can be wrong now and again. It can be very wrong.
Ignorance of the law is no defense, Steve.
Oh, my God. The blurb is, when CIA's most skilled operative, whose true identity is known to none, accidentally uncovers dark agency secrets, manhunt assassins, right?
I can give you a synopsis that will immediately clarify my issue with it, right?
Okay.
Imagine that you were an assassin, right? And after being an assassin for a long time, the people that you work for try and assassinate you.
Imagine. Right?
Now, you could use that synopsis for quite a number of movies.
Where have we seen this trope before?
A lot of movies.
Yeah. Right?
But that's the bad thing about it. That's the bad thing. There are good points in this. And I'm not just talking about the Duke from Bridgerton, turn it up.
My biggest, apart from the plot, my biggest problem with it was the dialogue. It was just the writing.
Wasn't it?
Oh my God, it was atrocious. It was atrocious. And I tapped out. I just couldn't watch anymore.
Do you think this is some kind of hubris? You know, we've got the money. We've hired Ryan Gosling. We don't need to make any effort with the fucking script.
I said it to herself here. I said, do you think this is a money laundering operation? You know, because it's not for the art, you know.
So the dialogue wasn't good, right? The dialogue wasn't good. But didn't Chris Evans do an amazing job delivering it?
Crap dialogue.
I do not think that he was delighting in being the bad guy in this. I thought he looked like he was just so delighted with life every time he was speaking in this.
He looked like he was delighted with the big fucking check that they sent for doing fuck all.
Yeah. I don't even have to be good.
They just told me to show up and that's
it. It was terrible.
Fight scenes were good. Action was brilliant. Stunts were good. The settings were amazing. You remember that whole firework fight scene? That was pretty cool.
It just looked fake. It really did.
What looked fake? The firework scene?
It looked like a bad Blade Runner knockoff wannabe. Yeah. We're trying to get that atmosphere, but
I'm with you.
They were shooting for it, yeah. The big kind of future urban.
Oh, it's nighttime all the time, of course.
Yes, always. And the, what do you call it? I just couldn't get over the laziness of the plot.
That was just terrible.
I was just hoping for Matt Damon to show up and beat the snot out of Ryan Gosling.
I know, right?
And use much just, more efficient fight moves.
Or just have Jack Ryan roll in and just sort it all out and, you know, make it good.
just
break out the ironing board, you know.
But look at the action was good, though. That's I'm drawn away.
It wasn't good enough to fix it. Sorry, man.
I felt any risk to the lead character of even breaking a sweat, not taking any damage.
All right, okay.
See you just before the credits, man. Yeah. Yeah, it just should have made this in the '80s, you know, and
It would have been a cracker in about 1981, 1982.
Oh, geez!
Could you imagine going to the cinema in 1982, and you see this real life assassin, and now his boss wants to kill him.
Everyone would be like, gasp,
gasp in Spanish. Yeah,
because in 1982 you still had 3 years before Commando came out.
Exactly. Nobody had any idea what these operatives were capable of.
Yep. Commando, the action movie by which all others are measured. Stick around, Bennett.
We also
don't
saw
my friend, he's dead tired. what did you say?
Eat green berets for breakfast.
We also saw, we're going to leave that one alone, so don't watch that, right? That's what we're saying.
Don't watch The Gray Man.
What should I watch? Yeah, give that a skip. The Sandman.
Ah, The Sandman.
This is getting a lot of promos and a lot of noise being generated by this. Mm. But who's going to tell us about that?
I'm going to propose a new rule that we don't allow anything related to comics anymore on the show.
No, Mike. No. No.
To who?
Objection.
Comics.
No, that's not a rule.
Please.
Wait, Mike, do you want to lead this out here? Tell us what it's about and tell us what you thought, because it sounds like you've got opinions.
Oh, sorry, I just got it now. Comics. I was going, Tommy? Mommy? What the fuck? Okay, comics. Okay,
mnemonics.
Gotcha. Okay.
Nothing to do with mnemonics.
Go first.
This is based on a DC comic, which I believe was 1986 to 93. Open to correction on the dates there.
Yeah, not a fan of comics, or how's that novel, Mike?
Seems like one of us did their homework.
Did a bit of research.
Are you going to make a valid point?
Go on. What's your point?
Right. So it was a comic, Mike.
So it was a comic. It was a DC comic. Right.
So you have a wizard who's a very bad wizard who doesn't want to die. So his idea is that he's going to kidnap one of these everlasting, immortal god-type creatures, specifically Death. There are seven of these creatures, the Endless, I think they call them in this universe. Mm. And basically he fucks up and he gets Death's little brother, Mr. Dreamtime Sandman. So the world has been without dreams for over 100 years because this happened World War One or whatever. And the story of the first episode is the awakening of Sandman. Something has gone awry in their dastardly plan to keep him under lock and key. And suddenly he's out and about and traveling around in our universe. And somehow this is related to DC. But I think Batman lives in this world too.
Actually?
Yeah,
the DC universe.
I don't think this is in the DC universe.
I think they might have done some fucking jiggery pokery.
Really?
Not in this actual show, but in kind of
on the comics,
the canon kind of thing.
Okay.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shoots his course.
Yeah.
The power of research.
Well, hang on. The Sandman was in Batman.
Oh, that was a different baddie in Batman. That was a guy actually made of sand.
Oh, is that 1983?
Okay. Spider-Man.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Interesting. I did not know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I went into this blind. I knew nothing about it. I was just like, okay, it's a program called The Sandman. It looks a bit werewolfy. I just went, okay.
Yeah, and you've touched on my main problem with this whole thing is the look and feel of it. It's a classic sparkly vampire kind of horse crap.
That's kind of where I thought we were going. What's your one's name that you loved that used to go around killing stuff on a weekly basis?
Buffy,
yeah. I'd sort of feeling that it might go that way, but it's higher quality, I think. Yeah.
And there's also kind of feelings of, do you remember that god awful show Gormenghast and Lemony Snicket's Unfortunate Events?
Oh yeah, I remember Lemony Snicket, right?
It's dark, but it's not really horror. It's gone into a sort of a fantasy LSD kind of experience, you know. It's
See, that was my main problem with this. Thank you. You know, where they all refer to where they live as a realm. It's just like, come on, for fuck's sake.
You're just annoying. You don't have a realm of your own.
I know. Oh, I do. You're not invited. that's just bollocks, really. You know, and, you know, I know there's the whole fantasy universe that they have. You know, this is a new universe that we're introduced. Well, it's not, because it was in the comics, so, which I know nothing about. But as a new watcher reader, I was sort of going, really? It's like someone followed the yellow brick road. You know, it's, what's this? You know what I mean? It's like a Wizard of Oz. I know, right? So anyway, I did like it had. I did like the darky kind of approach. That it very much reminded me of The Crow. Now, obviously, that's a bit emo. Influence there and that kind of thing, which is fine. It's fine. But I do think that the first episode could have moved on a bit further than it did in the first episode. Mm. I think they took their time over showing how much time was involved, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I think they could have cut to the chase there a bit earlier in the episode and maybe had more of a hook for the second, because I found at the end of the episode, I was like, yeah, I could just finish this now, you know?
You know? I suppose they got through 100-odd years in less than an hour.
You're never happy, you two. That's the problem. You know, you're never happy.
No, but literally, you could have started and finished with the first episode and not, you know, there's no great hook because he's saying, I'm going to do something I did already before. And I was sort of like, well, looked nice the first time. You know, so I guess you have to be vested enough to see, how's he going to do this, and how's he going to, you know, blah blah blah, and what's going to happen next. But that's the only there's no other storyline that has me really sort of like, I can't wait for the next episode, you know.
Fair enough Yeah. Did you watch the coming in this season?
The what?
There's a thing at the end of the first episode, coming this season in Sandman, and it gives you...
No, on purpose, I don't watch those things because they ruin the season for you. Because then I go, I've seen the season now. You know, they're like, next week on.
Just give you... it helps with the hook, I suppose, right? Mm. So, okay, so let me give you my perspective on it a little bit. Now, I did like this. Spoiler, I liked it, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the late 90s or early noughties, I can't remember when, I read the Sandman graphic novel, which collects... I think a lot of what we're going to see in season one. I think I didn't go back and check how closely it's following the comics. And when I started reading it, I got it from my brother, I think, at the time. And when I started reading it, I went, look, this is a fucking different universe. I don't know what the rules are here. Who's Sandman? What are his powers? Can I not just go back and read another Spider-Man or something? But everyone was raving about it at the time. It was a very highly acclaimed graphic novel. So I said, look, I'll give it a bit of time. Uh-huh. I read an episode or two and then I was into it. And I devoured the rest of the graphic novel. I remember thinking that was brilliant, right? Mm-hmm. So then I sat watching the TV show, and when it came on, I went, I don't know what his powers are. I don't know what any of the rules are in this world. I should just go and rewatch Avengers. But anyway, I let it play and I got sucked in. I started to understand what was going on. They started to clue me in as to what was happening. And along with some of the audience proxies, funnily enough, your man Magus, who's trying to make all these moves, played wonderfully by Tywin Lannister, he knew nearly as little as we did about what was going on. He just kind of fluked a spell and managed to capture one of the endless. Like, Jesus, if ever something was meant to go wrong, like,
yeah, good effort, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Beginner's luck or something. I don't know. Yeah, anyway, I thought they did a good job. I thought the guy who played the son, I'm trying to look him up, did a very good job of kind of saying, oh, I wish I could let you out, but I can't really. And the hook for me was the Corinthian. So at the start of episode one, Sandman kind of swings onto Earth to capture this nightmare who kind of refused to come home when nightmare time was over. I think he's known as the Corinthian. And he was essentially being a serial killer. He was enacting his nightmare in the real world. And imagine his surprise when the boss landed to tell him, you've been naughty and I'm dragging you back to where you're supposed to be. And then the boss disappears before he's a chance to do that. And you're like, what am I going to do now? So he's had a lot of time to build a power base while Sandman has been under lock and key. So there's going to be a battle of wills between those two that I'm looking forward to, because I think more so the Corinthian now, I think there's more richness to his character. And I think there'd be a good story told there. The Sandman is a little bit too quiet. And that's my one criticism of it, is that he literally said nothing for most of the episode. And then at the end, when he starts talking, I was nearly going, go on, like, are you just putting on a deep voice now? That's not how you talk, really. Because you were in a transparent glass ball for 100 years and nobody saw your willy.
I mean, it was a full-on snow globe you were doing there, dude. You know?
It was, yeah. but I liked it. I think the effects are brilliant. Like, I get where you're coming from. It is a bit of a steed trip, and you could see anything, you know, around the next corner. It's not very coherent a lot of the time. But I kind of enjoyed it just for the spectacle, because I was kind of like, enjoyed waiting to see what would be around the next corner.
There's that. All right, yeah, yeah.
So first he likes the grey man, then he likes the sand.
I didn't like the grey man. I just enjoyed the action. But
the Corinthian, though.
I enjoyed the episode. A lot of it was, and a lot of the reason why I am going to go back and watch more of it is because I want to find out how that storyline with the Corinthian plays out. I think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, see, I think they might have missed the trick by miscasting him. Should have had Hugo Weaving in there. You know, Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Yeah.
That could have worked.
Because he kind of reminded me of him. Yeah, no, he is. Yeah, for sure. But
Boyd Holbrook is the guy's
name. Yeah. Are we going to watch more of this?
I am.
Oh, not a chance.
Mark's going to bring me around. Because there's depth in it that I missed, obviously.
I'd rather spend 100 years in a snow globe than watching
Okay.
Look, it's not for everybody.
I'll certainly give it a second episode, just to be fair to it, because I kind of am on the fence.
But you kind of have to accept that it's weird and it doesn't make sense.
Well, there's a lot I like about it, but there was a lot of problems. Like, I've gone through already, probably. Yeah. More unfairly than I should have. But anyway.
So it's a kind of a watch the first episode and make your own mind up, I think.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone, for sure.
Into it or you're not. Yeah, exactly. So
our main event
brings us to Prey. Yeah. Are you itching to tell us about it, Mark?
I can't do
Go something. On. So you know you want to.
Prey is a
20 years he's been waiting for it.
Predator movie. It's a Predator movie, right? And it's set in the Old West before it's been fully conquered. So it's actually set amongst a whole lot of Indian tribes, or an Indian tribe.
Late 1700s, Mike, maybe? When did you move out there?
1746, I think they said.
Was it? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Mid-1700s.
So we don't see the white man at all here. So we do. But anyway, it was a tribe that they still own their own land, I suppose. Maybe that's the way to say it. And they start to see strange occurrences and they realize that there's some mysterious force out there that's wreaking havoc. And lo and behold, it turns out to be a predator. And the movie kind of unfolds from there.
biggest fear going into this was there wouldn't be a chopper. Actually, the biggest fear was that they'd use too many of the tricks from the original, and it would be too much of a rehash. There were a few nods, but they were not.
They did good baits and switches there.
Yeah, there were nods. There was a couple of things I was like, oh, of course this is going to happen. Exactly.
They made you think it was their advantage, actually.
That's not what they're doing here. It was just a thing, but it was something else that they did instead. You know, I thought it was brilliant.
But don't get me wrong, it was shite.
Well, look, the Predator was a bit of an asshole, wasn't he? I kind of respected the first one, but this guy, nah, not so much.
No issue with the Predator. Like
the French lads.
They're asking us to believe, right? The reason that Arnie and Danny, the reason that Arnie had so much trouble fighting the Predator is because he was too big and strong. That was the reason. And the reason, obviously Danny Glover was never going to do well in Predator 2 because he's getting too old for this shit.
Yeah, he's only 2 weeks from retirement.
But this tiny, tiny girl was going to have no bother. She nutmegged him with her entire body 3 times during this movie, right? Like, you know what I mean? So
she's got special set of skills, that girl.
We've been doing it. One thing I will say, right, is when she was fighting human folk, everything she was doing actually made martial sense, right? So she was using leverage and she was using good technique to beat the men, right? So I was delighted with that. That was really good to watch. And the way she was using her weapons as well was excellent.
Yeah.
But then when she fought the Predator, she became fucking Spider-Man. And like, it just, like, it didn't make any sense. Like,
yeah.
And then that was, when I was watching that, I was going, all right, look, I'll watch this film because I love the Predator, but just letting you know, my arms are folded now because this is rubbish. But anyway, what did you guys think?
Mike?
My biggest problem with this, I had been forewarned that they were going to try and woke the shit out of it. So
they didn't, though, did they?
They didn't, though, no.
Well, strong, independent woman, bad fighting men.
That's not woke. That's just woke, like...
Yeah,
like, remember Hannah and all those other films we've watched?
Yeah, I just think that's people trying to wokeize it, and I'd read that as well, and then when I saw it, I was just like,
do you think it was woke?
Oh, it was, of course. Yeah, she can't accept her gender assignment within her fucking tribal culture that she's supposed to respect so much, which is under threat from the white colonists.
If this was 10 years ago, though, you would have just said she was a tomboy and moved on.
This is true.
Anyway, go on.
Holy shit, Mike and woke shocker.
So I was prepared for that, so it didn't hurt me too much. I had my disappointment baked in at that point. What did get to me was when I first imagined the concept, I think, okay, Predator 1, you got the Predator taking on fucking Arnie, special ops guys loaded with fucking machine guns and grenades and claymores and all that cool bang bang stuff.
Yeah.
And now we've got a Predator against a fucking pre-industrial civilization with basically bows and fucking arrows against a Predator. So I figured the only way you're going to balance this up is through massive weight or numbers. So I was expecting a Predator taking out like 5 or even 10,000
nations.
But they were
nations of natives.
They were too cheap to do that. So they just they paid like 20 actors or whatever. You know, you can play 6 parts here, you know, because we don't have money to pay anymore. So instead of balancing the numbers on that side with like 10,000 victims, they made the Predator crap, which is completely unacceptable. This is the worst Predator in the history of Predator movies.
Well, no, they showed his technology advances too. So they kind of evolved his technology a little bit.
Yeah, this is like, do you remember in the other Good guys, point. When your man, fought, when your man, the cop kept fucking up, so they took his gun away and they gave him a whistle. He's like the Predator version of that. That was his whistle. And you know, when you're qualified, then you can have the fucking plasma cannon or shoulder mounted. So they took away
the pleasures hadn't invented it at that stage, Mike.
It's only 200 years. They're fucking.
What do you mean only?
They're millennia ahead of us technology-wise. They've got fucking spaceships. They can fucking sort out a shoulder-mounted plasma cannon.
Yeah, but it took way longer for that spaceship that he drove to get there. Way longer.
Speaking of which, what was like a little confusion there on the spaceship front, because there is the one where he arrives, but what was going on before that?
With the like, clouds and all?
What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they was dropped it him off. Somebody dropped him off, or else he was dropped off.
Twice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what occurred to me? Like, if this had been set 150 years later, like around 1883, because there's a couple of scenes that had similar landscapes to that TV show we watched. The first time the predator visited my land, I was just a girl.
Yeah, so even if they get to 1883, they've got Gatling guns and Winchesters and cool stuff, you know.
Yeah. They've been doing it all wrong, Mike. Really what you need is an arrow, and only the one, because it's fairly easy from what I can tell to shoot them with an arrow and pull it out and use it again. That seems to be a really, really easy way of dealing with the predator. Mm-hmm. And axes, he's very, very, very bad at, you know, catching axes.
Yeah. Well, they do move kind of quickly.
Yeah. And don't try and go around him through the legs. That's the key.
Yeah. Make sure he doesn't know how his own weapons work. That happens too.
I don't know. I don't really want to talk about that because we'd spoil it, but Jesus, that was nonsense.
Yeah.
That was nonsense. Like,
yeah. Well, that's when I kind of went to a Disney movie for me.
All that was missing there was a puzzled expression on a predator's face. If a predator could do puzzled, that would have been perfect. He'd look down at himself and then show on the camera a puzzled expression.
Yeah.
That's what was missing.
Maybe it wasn't actually a predator under the hood. It was like one of those monkeys from 2001, A Space Odyssey. They're just banging the ground.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if someone slides, I need to move on from the nutmeg thing, but if someone slides under your legs once, right, you'll feel stupid, right? And then if they do it again, you'll have something in your head that you're going to get them with, right?
But this guy
kept kind of staggering forward and trying to grab between his legs after she'd already... Come on. Anyway.
Yeah, it was weak.
I think groups of fellas should watch this together so they can give out about it like we've just done.
This is another one that belongs in the 80s.
But the 80s one was so much better.
Yeah. I don't think there's any aspect that can compare with the 80s one, really.
No. There was the one thing that I liked, which was the human-to-human combat.
Yeah.
I liked that. That all worked for me. Yeah. Because I've given out before about when they have a strong female lead and she's able to perform magic, right? You know the one where they do a push kick to a fella four times their weight and the fella flies back.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going, well, that's just breaking the laws of physics. Like,
what was the name of the movie? The famous one? The first one we ever reviewed?
Columbiana.
Columbiana. That's the one.
There's a lot of that in that movie, yeah. But in this one, there wasn't, though. Because if she was trying to make someone fall, typically she was throwing her whole body weight at a point of leverage, and it actually made sense. So that was good. So it's not all bad.
Yeah, you just reminded me. Actually, we haven't talked about the dialogue, but was it just me or did the tribe sound more like California surf bros than 1746.
That was a decision. They made a decision, Mike.
Yeah.
I think they fell by that decision rather than staying.
They were going to go, are we going to ham this up or, you know?
Yeah. For me, it didn't work.
Trying to make some money.
Were they going to wind up and bother though? Like, how would it have played with our woke nation if they had been like, hey, Kimo Sabe?
No, they could have.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but they could have done it in a native language, just pick one. I think Comanche was what it was supposed to be.
But no, subtitle films are shite, though.
Yeah, so they obviously thought of you, and they said, okay, if we subtitle...
I'm their audience, just 20 years too old.
Or they could have...
I think subtitles would have worked, actually, yeah.
Like, you would, Steve.
I fucking love this event, subtitles.
But even just not as contemporary, you know, the the language was the speech. Overly familiar.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if they'd made it some kind of fucking Shakespearean fucking knockoff or something, it might have.
No, they should have gone like, white man, go.
Yeah. Heap big trouble from predator.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
I can't really see that working in.
I thought about this during the, and that's what I thought. I said, I guess they couldn't just do this kind of almost like a language blackface nearly.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Exactly that.
Yeah.
Didn't Johnny
it's not Depp even borderline racist to be totally completely racist.
With the Tonto and Hi Ho Silver.
Yeah, yeah. What about him?
Didn't he get a load of shit over having the hammed up Indian kind of faux?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
So there was definitely a precursor to say, "Oh, be careful now, lads."
Yeah. Well, no. Fair enough. Like that all makes sense. You don't want to be going back down that road. Like.
Yeah.
But
even had they sorted this problem to everyone's satisfaction, there was still no memorable lines.
Yeah,
like compared to get to the chopper. Tyrannosaurus.
Hey, I'm here. Ain't got time to bleed.
There's too many three guys tops out there.
Yeah.
The trees.
I see you. I'm
gonna have me some fun.
Yeah, you're gonna have me
some fun. So many lines.
I know, yeah.
The soundtrack
is brilliant. Like, you know.
Everyone listening to this are going, what are these old guys talking about?
I know, right?
even Predator 2 had, want some candy?
Can't see the eyes of the demon.
Until him come calling. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, God, I've forgotten about that.
But we're illustrating our point, though. Like, we watched those films 20 years ago.
And they're still playing in our heads over and over again. Every goddamn day.
Yeah. I guess they're still our pop culture, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well,
that was quite a load of content, Steve. Nice work.
It was a fair bit. We even had more that we didn't have time for, really.
We can cover it next week.
We can cover it some other time. Have we any big releases this week that we're looking forward to?
There's another. Oh no, it's not this week. The week after next, we're going to be looking at She-Hulk.
Oh, sorry, God. Attorney at Law.
Yeah, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law.
Oh God,
that's the name.
I really hope he had forgotten about it.
She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because she is an attorney. Jennifer Walters is an attorney, and then she just happens to be cousins with Bruce Banner. I've been watching the trailers for this. I'm really excited for this show. Like, it could be really good. Like, best way to find out what we're reviewing next week is to follow us on Twitter at WSIWpod, which just rolls off the tongue, which is why I link it in the episode description. So if you're listening to this on your phone, open up the description and then tap where it says at WSIWpod, and that'll bring you to our Twitter feed. Then you click on follow and you get all of the news about what we're going to review and jokes.
Hashtag Mark Mansplaining. Fantastic.
I had some brilliant, pretty amazing jokes during the Love Island final. Let me tell you.
So that's all we have time for this week.
Just cut his feet.
Yeah, no, just cut him off at the knees there. Do you want to tell us about your Love Island experiences? Or have you a story?
No, I don't.
No, you don't? Okay, great.
I'm not going to put you through it. Just going to say Davide and Ekansu forever.
So from Mike, Mark, and Steve. Stay classy.
Stay classy.
Good luck.